Blog Talk Radio.
The book of Hebrews is a book rich of fundamental Christian doctrine. It gives us encouraging examples of God's faith heroes who preserved in spite of great difficulties and adverse circumstances, according to Hebrews 11. We are to maintain perfect confidence in God's rich promises regardless of our circumstances. We are to encourage one another in this race of faith, which is found in the person and work of Christ, who has gone before us as the founder of perfecting our faith. Pastor Michael Crowe and Carnita Smith will continue the series Hebrews 101, focusing on the last two chapters, 12 and 13. We have a better life. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith, and I am just so grateful again to be with you another time, another day, another blessing. It is just amazing on how God brings us week by week, situation through situation, circumstance by circumstance, and we continue to press forward. We don't give up. We don't quit. This is the call of the Christian life. Praise the Lord. And it's such a blessing for you to be tuned in again with Pastor Crowe and myself, Carnita Smith, with Mission from the Heart Radio. We are just going to get right to this conclusion, this rich conclusion of Hebrews 101, A Better Life. And my co-host is Pastor Michael Crowe, and he is with us again. Thank God for this opportunity for him to bless us with doctrinal exercise that we need for the soul to continue to move forward in the kingdom building of God's work. So, Pastor Michael Crowe, if you could go ahead and just let's get this jump started, because it's so much nuggets in this, so many rich nuggets in this lesson, this last lesson that I don't want us to just race through. I want us to really get this in our spirit, in our soul, so that we can have a full understanding of what this book teaches us. Pastor Crowe, go ahead.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Smith, and as always, I want to thank the God in you for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to spread the gospel all over the world. And we thank God for your consistency in this ministry. And we also thank God for you sharing and allowing us an opportunity to expose the word, explain the word, and expound on the word. And on behalf of the Barbara Moore Missionary Baptist Church in Third Ward area of the city, we want to say thank you and let the Holy Spirit continue to use you. As we prepare to close out this wonderful series, I've always expressed that Hebrew and Romans are my favorite two. I think I lean a little bit toward Hebrew. But the Roman road is special to me, too. God bless my heart so much. But I thank God for all of you that have been traveling with us through this Hebrew letter. And let us never forget the author. When we first started, we don't know exactly who it is. Most scholars have different views. But we came to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is the author. And we took a look at these Hebrew Jews, these Hebrew Christian Jews that somewhere heard the word, received the word, and believed the word. And they became believers. And when we first started out, we noted that they were having problems because of their faith. We found out when we first started that during their Christian walk, a lot of things happened to them that discouraged them. And it discouraged them to the point to where they wanted to turn around and go back to the old way. And we saw how the author of this letter, through the Holy Spirit, encouraged them and showed them the contrast between Judaism and Christianity, and encouraged them not to make the same mistakes their father did, their forefathers did when they did not enter into Canaan, but to keep going on. And he showed them by reminding them that the theme of Hebrew is better. And we looked at how much better the gospel was through a better message, the preeminence of Christ, the preeminence of his message, his priesthood. We saw how God did things better, better covenant. And as we prepare to close out, it's two chapters, I think, can really close this out, Sister Smith. And in this 12th chapter, the first three verses, and the 13th chapter, the first three verses, and we'll close with verse 17 in that 13th chapter of Hebrew. Sister Smith, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to read that, and I want our audience to get prepared and just walk along with us as we try to expositorily let the Holy Spirit teach us through these passages. Could you read the first three passages in the 12th chapter and the first three in the 13th and close out with that 17th verse?
All righty. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great of a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be warned or wearied and faint in your mind.
Amen. Now that 13th chapter.
Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. In verse 17,
mm-hmm.
Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Now let's go back to the 12th. Let's let the Holy Spirit be the teacher. And I have a King James Version Bible, and look what it say. I want these words to soak in. I want you to digest these words. Now, after all we've discovered what they're going through, after all what the author has told them, we're in the last part of this letter, and look how he addressed them then. Look how he addressed them now. He say, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. Now, he just taught us on last week, we looked down the heroes of faith, and we saw how they had a good report. And we saw how God used all the way from Abel to the way he used Abraham. We looked at the faith of Noah. We looked at the faith of Moses. And the author here say, now, you got a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. He says, so now, this is what we need to do. Now, he's beginning to really zero in on them and their attitude as opposed to what's been going on before. He said, now, in order for us to have faith and godliness, there are some things that have to happen. He said, first of all, look at that verse. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, therefore, since we're having a rough time, since darkness is on our trail, but we know that God is on our side, we know that we are in this spiritual race, to tell a dying world the gospel of Christ. In order for us to run a good race, there are some things that you got to do. You got to lay aside some things. Now, the Bible want to call them some hindrances. There are some hindrances in our lives that keep us from reaching our spiritual progress. Hindrances. In each of our lives, there's something that we are held captive to. There's something that we are imprisoned with. There are some things and hindrances that have our head hung down. Jesus say, I came to set the captives free. He said, I came to lift up hung down heads. He said, I came to open up prison doors. Because those hindrances can keep us from making spiritual progress. Now, you can imagine all the turmoil that they were going through, all the abuse that they were going through, that the thoughts in their minds and their feelings about what was happening was a hindrance to them moving farther in the gospel because they couldn't take the abuse that they were going. And I like the way the author used weight. Yeah, look at that word. They say, lay aside every weight. Now, when you look at weight as well as sin, weight impedes progress. Now, if I have some track runners out there, we know that when we watch a track meet, they take off their warm-ups, they try to wear as less as possible so they can move as fast as possible. And the thought to us in this spiritual sense is that there are some things in our lives that we got to take off. things in our lives that we have to lay aside, because it will hinder us from being all that God wants us to be. Let's use for example. Let's look in the Bible. You remember in Matthew 19th chapter, verse 22, there was a rich young man that came to Jesus, and he wanted to be a part of the discipleship. Jesus told him some things that he needed to do. You honor your mother and your father. And Jesus ran down a list of things, and he told Jesus, he said, well, I've done that. And Jesus, after he said that he had done all those things, he said, I tell you what, give all your riches to the poor. But guess what? His worldly possessions became a hindrance to his progress because he could not do it. Discouraged men oppose. When you look at Nehemiah, the fourth chapter and that tenth verse, and discouraged men oppose the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Sometimes discouragement can be a heavy weight in our spiritual progress. The slightest thing that discourages, and darkness' job is to discourage us. But the author is saying you got to lay aside discouragement because it could be a hindrance to your spiritual growth. Unbelief is a hindrance to Christ's work. You remember when in Matthew 13:58, it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their lack of faith. Our unbelief can be a hindrance in our spiritual progress. Doubtfulness is a weight that we must what? Lay aside. So here the author say, lay aside discouragement. Lay aside worldly possession. Lay aside unbelief, because it can be a hindrance to our spiritual growth. And they say, now when you do that, he say, now let us run what? With patience. And in order for us to have patience, the Holy Spirit has to be in our life. The race that is set before us. So my challenge today is, there are some hindrances. You know your hindrances. I know the hindrances in my life. But if we're going to make it, if our faith is going to hold up, if we're going to run the race, if we're going to be in God's army, we must learn to lay aside the weight in our lives that keep us from progressing. And can't you imagine those people, because of the way they were treated, they had some thoughts, they had some hindrances in their mind that could keep them from running the race. But the author says, lay it aside and run the race that is set before you. Now look at that second verse. That second verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now hold up right there. He didn't say look unto the heroes of faith. He didn't say look unto Peter, James, John. It say, but in order to lay aside those hindrances, we must look to Jesus as our example. Look at his life. Now, Moses and Abraham and Noah, all those men did a great work. They had a great faith. But it's not based on what they did. It's based on what Christ did. Christ is our example. It said, looking unto Jesus. And that's what you got to do nowadays. You got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Don't look at the preacher. Don't look at the teacher. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the example of how we can make it in this world, how we can lay aside and run the race with patience, because he set the example for us. Let me give you a scripture. If you get a chance, you could turn to 1 Peter, and you look in that second chapter, and you look at that 21st verse. Look what it says. For even hereunto we were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow in his steps. That's our example. Let's don't get it mixed up, man. A lot of great men, a lot of great preachers, a lot of great teachers. But our example, if we're going to make it through our suffering, if we're going to make it through our tribulation, is Jesus Christ. Because he came all the way from heaven and endured all kind of obstacles and died on the cross for you and for me. And guess what? That's our example. Not your mother, not your father, but Jesus. He is the inspiring example. Now watch the rest of this verse. He say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, whom for the joy, underline that word joy, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Wait a minute. Joy. Who for the joy that was set before us, even in the midst of our circumstances, we ought to have the joy of Christ. Christ had joy. I'm talking about, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He took on the form of a servant. He condescended, which means he came down through 42 generations to die for our sin, and he counted it all joy. And if I had time, I'd take you to Luke 15 and 5, and when it talks about that lost sheep, it talks about how he took that lost sheep and laid it on his shoulder and went away rejoiced. There's a joy. There's a joy when the Holy Spirit is in our lives, that the old folks used to say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world didn't take it away. Some folks, when you go through your trial and your tribulation, because the world is looking at you, they don't see no joy. They see anger. They see frustration. They see hate. But what they ought to see, if Christ is in our lives, they ought to see joy. Say, well, preacher, now how are you going to have joy when folks talk about you? That's what we call inward fruit, and you know, Sister Smith, you talked about those fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us when he sits on the throne of our life. He gives us what? Inward fruit. He gives us love, he gives us joy, and he gives us peace. Joy. Even when things don't go like you think you ought to be, even when folks are abusing, even when you misunderstood, even when the storms of life are blowing, you still ought to have the joy of Christ. That's how we're going to make it. Here's another thing. This joy abides in believers. wait a minute, John 15 and 15, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have what? Joy. He said, I didn't tell you this for you to be sad. I told you this because in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your circumstances, I still want you to have joy so people can see the difference between you and the unbeliever. Because the flesh don't believe in no joy. If you do me, I'm going to do you. The flesh gets depressed. The flesh, but he said, I want you to have joy that I've spoken unto you. Well, let me give you another example of his joy. Hebrews 12 and 2, where we on right now, he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I tell you what, if Christ can go to the cross for you and I, and there still be a joy, we ought to be able to deal with life's ups and downs and still have joy. Well, you say, preacher, now that's hard. Well, if the Holy Spirit is in your life, you can have that joy. If you try to do it yourself, you'll never have that kind of joy. Just let the Holy Spirit take root in your life. And this is what he's telling these Hebrews. Look here, though they talk about you, though they abuse you, let the joy of the Lord soothe your soul. Let them see joy. Joy in the morning. Joy in the noonday. Joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Now let's look at this third verse. This third verse, it's a for. Consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Talked about Christ's suffering. But he said, wait a minute. When you talk about his suffering, consider that Christ was rejected. Consider Christ's suffering. Consider Christ's endurance. Consider that he did it all for you and for me. Consider that God himself sent his son into a cruel world to die for your sin and my sin. And because he came, consider what has happened. He was rejected. He suffered. He died. And because he died, we have justification. We're justified by his blood. We have sanctification. We have a different character in our life. We have imputation. His righteousness is imputed in us. When we have glorification, when we let the Holy Spirit have his way in our life, he tells them, consider that. And that's my question to you today. Consider what the word has done in your life. Consider what Christ did for you and for me. Consider that he gave his glory to the moon, his glitter to the stars, his brightness to the sun, and came down to a cruel world, born in a manger for you and for me. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Christ don't love you. Don't ever let any circumstance or situation make you think that God don't love you. But consider that he didn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do himself. So before you turn around, I'd like you to consider that he came and he died. And guess what? Because he came, because he died, guess what? When the Holy Spirit comes in our life, we can do the same thing. We can endure. We can endure our suffering. We can do our shame. Don't let him turn around. And those are some great nuggets. Now let's turn over to chapter 13 right quick. Because chapter 13, when Christ is in our lives, and since we've given all these examples, then the term, there are some social duties that are required of us. Some social duties. That means since the Holy Spirit is in our lives, since the Holy Spirit gives us inward fruit, since the Holy Spirit gives us upward fruit, since the Holy Spirit gives us outward fruit, since we've looked at the heroes of faith, since we've been born again, since we say that Jesus Christ saved our soul, since we say that he is Lord, then there's a requirement. That requirement is that we fulfill our social duties. It's not good just to be a Christian and just to be a Christian. We looked the other day and say that work, we have to work because Christ died for us. We don't work for our salvation. We work because we have salvation. Faith without what works is dead. There is a social obligation that is required of us as believers. And oh, can't you just look into the minds of those Hebrew Christian Jews as they listen to the author tell them that in spite of all their endurance, they still have a duty, a responsibility to society. If God has saved your life, if God has done something for you, if he opened your eyes that were blind, if he gave you a brand new speech, talking about spiritually speaking, then it's not enough for you to just take what he has done for you and go sit under a tree. That's not what's required. We have some duties. And in this 13th chapter, the author reminds them of their duties as believers. And he's reminding each and every one of us as believers. And that's one of the things I like about Sister Smith. God has given you a duty to see to it that his word is spread throughout this world. And he's given you the means and the way in which it could be done. Now, life still, we buffet around. We still have our ups and downs, but we have a what? A duty. We still run across people to get on our nerve, but guess what? We still have a what? A duty. Now, look at this 13th verse, 13th chapter. And look what it said in that 13th chapter, in that first verse. It says, in that 13th chapter, first verse, it says, let brotherly love continue. I don't care how the person talks about you. I don't care how the world laughs at you. I don't care how embarrassing you can find yourself in a situation. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. You mean, Pastor, I got to love somebody to hate me? He say, let brotherly love continue. You mean the same person that stabbed me in my back? He say, let brotherly love continue. You talking about the one that took my property? Let brotherly love continue. I like the way James put it, because you know James dealt with that situation. Because as Saul, when he was at his height, and when you read over in James how he ran all the Christians out of Jerusalem, but he reminded the church that you still, in spite of all what you're going through, you still, there's a certain way that you ought to act. And what I'm saying to you tonight, there are believers and listeners out there, that you can't quit. You want to quit because you don't think you was treated right. You want to quit because darkness is buffing you around. You got a duty. It don't matter whether it's black, white, Chinese, whatever. You got to love your brother. Well, let's look at what James said, James 2 and 8. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that's the new commandment. That's the New Testament commandment. And that's what's lacking in this world today. Darkness is trying to take all of the love out of the world. If we don't watch out, it looks like it'd be all hate. We turn on the news, we see hate. When we read the paper, we see hate. When we look on the internet, we see hate. But that's not of God. And it's our duties as believers, because what Christ has done for us, we are to show brotherly love. We are to love thy neighbor as we love thyself. And then watch this. James also said, he said, look here. And be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving only yourself. Now, that's in James 1 and 22. He said, wait a minute. It's not enough for you to be hearers of the word. You listening right now out in radio land, out in internet land. You listen right now. But you have a spiritual duty. It's not enough to be hearers and not doers. Now, here's the funny thing about that you have to keep in mind. Really, it's not us doing it. It's him doing it in us, through us, and for us. All we have to do is just let the Holy Spirit have his way. And he can do and hear for us. James said we can't just be here. A lot of folks want to hear, but they don't want to do. Now, you have to be what? Hearers and doers. They have to go back and listen to one of those series that Sister Smith did about what type of hearer are you. And then let's look at that second verse. Let's look at that second verse. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Lord have mercy. Now that's a good one right there. Now what he's talking about, we have to have brotherly love, then we have to have hospitality. There'll be some hospitality in our lives. And 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. If you're not going to do it in love, if you're not going to do it in joy, then you're not doing anything. Don't do it grudgingly. And only the Holy Spirit can fix us to where we don't do it grudgingly, because the flesh want to do it grudgingly. And God don't like no kind of, he don't like grudgingly giving. And just like he don't like, if you're going to give it grudgingly, keep it. If you're going to do hospitality grudging, just don't do it at all. But we ought to be what? Hospitable. Now, here's a good one here, and I'm almost finished, but Lord have mercy. I hope you get this one right here. You got to go, and I want you to help me on this one, Sister Smith. I want you to go to Matthew 25 and 35. Matthew 25 and 35. And just keep reading that, Sister Smith. Do you have it? You got to see the nugget in this, because we talk about entertaining strangers. Got to be careful. Oftentimes, people be asking for money, and man, every opportunity I can, I share with
them. I've got it. Okay, Matthew 25.
Man, Matthew 25 chapter and the 35th verse.
Okay.
Oftentimes they'll say, man, you're going to get us. I said, yeah, God put it on my heart to share with them. I don't know. what all they going to do, I'm not worried about what they're going to do. When God touched my heart and told me to give. And I'm going to show you why. Matthew 25, 25th chapter, 35th verse. Just start reading.
All right. Matthew 25, verse 35. And it reads this way. Glasses. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Continue. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.
Wait a minute, Sister Smith. Talking about hospitality. Now, what you really got to understand in this verse is that, man, God, the Holy Spirit is so smooth, and I like you that term, smooth, is that God works through us, and we don't even know he's working through us. Look what it says. Say, when I was hungry, you fed. Now, we got to look at that spiritually and physically. I'm talking about people are physically hungry, and then people are hungry for the word. He said, but when I was hungry, you fed me. Look here. When I was naked, you clothed me. Now, when we talk about clothes, you got to look at it from both sides, from the physical standpoint and from the spiritual standpoint. Sometimes there are people that need clothes, and if we have clothes to help them, we ought to share. We have a what? Social duty. But then there are some people that are clothed in wickedness. God want to clothe them in righteousness. The garment of righteousness. He want to clothe them. But then what's it? He said, I was sick. And you came to see it, Bobby. And with the same thing, sick physically, mentally, and spiritually. He said, but you visited me. He said, I was in prison. Oh, Lord have mercy. We just finished talking about that. I was locked up. I'm talking about physically. We ought to visit folks in TDC. We ought to visit for it's our duty. We can't just be believers and don't. He said, there's a social duty that's required of us. He said, I was in prison and you what? Visited me. But even on the spiritual side, I wasn't in prison. I wasn't locked up, but I was locked up in a way of thinking. I was held captive to an ungodly way. I was in prison in a bad thought. But you visited me. And guess what? Through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, he can open up prison doors. Jesus said, I can set the captives free. Now, it's not us doing it. It's God doing it what? Through us. He just needs somebody that's bold enough and got enough faith to let him, Lord have mercy, open up prison doors. And somebody enlisted, radio enlisted land. That's all we're trying to do tonight. You locked up spiritually. You blind spiritually. You hungry spiritually. And all God trying to do through us, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, just feed you. Now watch this. And I'm almost finished. They said, Lord, when did we do that? God be working through us and we don't even know he's working through us. We take his, he said, when you did it to the least, you did it for me. We got a social duty. That's all I'm trying to tell you. And that's all Arthur was trying to tell these Hebrews. Just because you got problems, just because you got trouble, you still got a duty because Christ died for you. As a believer, you still got things. And now, I don't want to read the rest of that, but if you read the rest of that, the second part of that, it took the same. Well, read the second part to it, and I only have a few more. Keep going, Sister Smith.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The king will reply. Verse 41. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Lord, and we have a social duty, y'all, as believers.
Amen.
God requires of us, because he is in us, that we ought to be hospitable. Now, let me hurry up in that third verse. Look at that third verse. We're back to the 13th chapter. It says, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversities, as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, y'all have sympathy for people. Man, we live in a world where don't nobody have no sympathy for nobody. If it didn't happen to me, I ain't worried about it. But as believers, and if you know, he said, just like the church you in, he said, you ought to have what? Sympathy for people. Then number two, not only sympathy, you ought to have what? Compassion. You got to have compassion for people. The Good Samaritan over in Luke 10 and 33 had what? Compassion. Pharaoh's daughter in Exodus 2 and 6 had what? Compassion. The Philippian jailer, after he thought he was going to kill himself, had what? Compassion, because he washed the stripes and he was baptized. We ought to have compassion. We ought to have sympathy. We ought to have hospitality. We ought to have brotherly love. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does in us, through us, and for us. Now, here's that last verse. That 17th verse, he said, we ought to be loyal to our leaders. We ought to understand church authority. We ought to be submissive in church. One of the things that we as believers have to learn, I'm not talking about folks on that, we got to be loyal to the God in our preachers, God in our leaders. There's some authority that must take place in our churches. We're not to be so rebellious that we can't listen to nobody, can't nobody tell us nothing, or we know more than. Now, as a believer, we have to be loyal to the leaders that God has given us. That scripture says, I've given you preachers, I've given you pastors, but you got to be what? Loyal to the God in them. Church authority. There got to be some authority within the church. We just can't go all willy-nilly, do all anything. We got to go by what? Walk in his word. And then there ought to be some what? Submission. Let me give you this last verse. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders, and all of you subject one to another. And then that 18th verse, it says we ought to pray. And when we pray in that 18th verse, it says it'll give us a good conscience. Because 1 Peter 2:19 say, for it is thankworthy if a man for his conscience. And all I'm trying to say tonight, Sister Smith, is that since Hebrew means better, we ought to have a better life. And we ought to remember that as believers, we have a social duty. We're not believers just to be believers. We believe it so that God can use our life to help somebody else. And since we got everything better, Sister Smith, as I close, I challenge the audience. I challenge your listening audience. We ought to be better because he gave us everything better. Well, how am I going to be better, preacher? Let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life. And this, regardless of the circumstance you're in, you can be a better person. Thank you, Sister Smith.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, this has been a blessing. This has truly been a blessing. And the richness of this book has just been a delight for our souls. I tell you, if you have not listened to the complete teaching track of Hebrews 101, do yourself a spiritual service by going back and listening to these teaching tracks, because it is a beautiful doctrinal book to teach us about what we have that is better, who we have that is better. And I tell you, this better life as a believer in Christ Jesus, it just puts the icing on the cake for us as believers in Christ Jesus, the covering that we have because of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, that we could have better. And I tell you, it would just do you a beautiful service for you to just give your life to Christ right now on this very day, at this very hour, as you listen to this program, is that we extend Jesus to you right now so that your life can be better, that you would have the blessings that come with knowing Jesus for yourself. And do not let this day go by wondering whether or not you have him. You can confess that you are a sinner and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your salvation, your eternal life, your better, and that you would not be lost eternally. And Pastor Crow, I just want to pray right now for to be extended to those who are listening, to somebody who may be struggling with this right now, accepting Jesus as their Savior, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that they do and can have better in their life.
Oh, yeah.
So if you would, go ahead and extend Jesus in prayer to someone that is listening to this program.
Our Father in heaven, we come now extending your word to someone that don't know you in the pardon of their sin. Someone that have been leading a life that's undesirable even to their own self. Someone that realize that they are a sinner. They realize that they have fallen from grace. They realize that they need a Savior in their life. They're tired of the old way, and they're looking for a better way, a better life. And we thank you for showing us in your word that you can give us a better life. And I pray right now that there's somebody in the audience that will fall on their knees, and they would admit that they are a sinner, and admit that they believe in Jesus Christ, and admit that they believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We pray that there's somebody that said, God, come into my life. I want to be better. I don't like the way I am. I don't like what I do. I don't like how I feel. I want to do better. I want to show brotherly love. I want to show sympathy. I want to show compassion. Would you come into my life? Would you save me? I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I'm wrong. But I love you. And there's somebody in this audience. You can establish a relationship with God. And he can save your soul. The way as you was headed to hell. And there is a hell. You could be headed to heaven. But all you got to do is say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Would you save me? Would you heal me? Would you change me? I want that better life that I heard them talking about. You believe that in your heart. Confess that with your mouth. You can be saved. Don't let darkness fool you. We pray you find a Bible-believing church. Give your hand to the preacher. Your heart to God. Baptize. And become a believer. And when you become that believer, you can have a better life. Thank you now. Bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. As I'll say, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Crow, again for allowing the Lord to use you to minister to us through this beautiful book. And I know you said it was one of your favorites, but I tell you, it's become one of mine. Just walking through the verses and the pages of this book has brought so much light in my heart concerning what I have. And I tell you, it is a gift. It is a beautiful gift. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we have so much, more than we could ever think or imagine. We've got it. And Pastor Crow, I hate to say that this is going to be the end of a teaching track, but not the end of our relationship on Mission from the Heart Radio. I'm full, and I thank you again and again for being obedient to the Holy Spirit and blessing us with these beautiful teachings. And I know this won't be the last. We'll be moving through another book, I'm sure.
Amen.
As we continue to journey. This brings us to the end of our program, Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm just so thankful for those that continue to follow us and continue to stay faithful to this ministry. And I pray for you as you continue to pray for this ministry, but allow others to be blessed by this ministry, and we need you to do that. We need you to continue to share the link or share this ministry with others to be blessed from the comfort of their own home or wherever they may be, that you would share this via the internet or via the phone, and just share this through text or Facebook. And we are on Facebook, and we tweet, and just continue to follow us and allow us to continue to be a food for your soul, just another resource for you to continue to grow and go in faith. And I just continue to bless you with this ministry, but just remember, always remember, that the grass withers And the flowers, they do fade away, but the word of God stands forever. So God bless you, and I pray and hope that you have a blessed week and a weekend coming, and that you tune in next week for Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless, and goodbye.
Good night.